This Week in Nature is brought to you by Audible.com. Sign up for your free 30 days trial at audibletrial.com/TWIA for your free audiobook. Hey, welcome back to episode 118 of This Week in Asia. I am Daniel Cervantes. I'm back for crazy 3 weeks, and I'm still suffering from it. But today we actually have two fantastic panelists on the show, starting with Smitty over in Singapore. Hey, Smitty, long time no see.
Yo, yes, long time no chat with people, and long time no see people. But yeah. It is good to be here. Yeah.
How's Spool coming about?
Spool is jamming. Yeah. It's, you know, it's hard work, but we're having fun, we're growing, and good news is coming. Yeah.
Nice.
And I'm staying busy.
I've been telling all my Indian friends that's the place to go and watch.
Go there or be square. That's what I tell people. But no, it's good. I mean, you know, it's like we're starting from scratch, right? So it's, I always have to remind myself, don't freak out because we're starting from scratch. But things are headed the right way. We got some new stuff coming, and it's fun. It's cool to be back in startup land. So,
go ahead. Oh no, so Vicky's been having some news recently. I mean, does that actually affect or does that help in terms of actually pushing Spool forward?
I don't know if like we're talked about in the same breath, I guess, because we're in Singapore. But you know, those guys are killing it, right? And they've been at this like 3 years, right? So I don't know, like, yeah, they have Indian content. I don't think they're about subscription and paid access. That's what we're more focused on. So, you know, but I think any, you know, it definitely helps that video is doing great, that advertising in video is doing great, and that YouTube's not the only game in town. I mean, all that I think is great. But I don't think when they're talked about, do people naturally, apart from this region, think about us, right? Yeah. But I'm glad those guys are killing it. It's great for the scene, right?
Yeah. Okay. So on the other side of the Straits of Malacca, actually, is, we have Mr. Rama from Daily Social. Hey, welcome back.
Hey, what's up?
What's up? You just came back from a basketball match, I understand.
I did, yeah. It was, we called, I forgot the name, Geek Hoops or something.
Geek Hoops?
They call it. Well, it's like all the tech startup founders playing basketball. So,
it's like Satya started it, right?
Yeah, it's actually from Yahoops. They call it Yahoops back then because it was for Yahoo people. And then, you know, they obviously went working for other companies. And so now they invited all these tech founders. And we ended up having good conversations.
Yahoo originally got the courts, and I think they invited lots of people, right? That was the whole thing. But they originally paid for like a monthly court. But I think we quickly tried to grew it into, you know, other companies, Microsoft coming and the evil Google and stuff like that. Now it's taken on more of a startup feel, which I think is kind of cool.
It's really cool.
How often is that actually?
Weekly, actually, every Tuesday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Wow. Okay.
After that, we go grab some really big dinner. So the sport is really
They basically eat a big meal and then sit in traffic, totally negating the effects of exercise to begin with. But
so
still
it's sort of everything just neutralized, like it became
better. Exactly. It's nothing.
It's not a net gain, but it's not a net loss also.
It's a networking event.
Totally
basically.
Neutral.
That's true.
I guess we should talk about something that actually happened in Indonesia. Was it last week or something? Some really famous entrepreneur, technologist visited Indonesia. Rama, can you just brief us?
An amazing Silicon Valley visionary.
So Smitty is gonna love this. So this guy, I think his name was Steve Wozniak or something.
His name was Steve Wozniak.
It still is. It still is.
I think. Yeah, I think it's Steve Wozniak or something. And he used to work.
He
founded.
Like, just small he company, right?
Yeah, a small Silicon Valley company called Apple Computers. I've never heard of it before. And he came. He talked about the whole innovation and creativity thing. So obviously, a lot of people came to listen to him. I have no idea why. I did not came. FYI.
Oh really?
I have.
Okay. But the crowd was good, right?
But the crowd was good. I mean, the only reason I didn't came was because I have so many work to do, and you know, instead of just listening to people telling about their, you know, story of their life, I might as well do something. So I decided to stay at work, and I think the whole team, the whole Daily Social team came to the event, and some actually took a picture with the guy. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty envy, but I think it's all good. I think a bunch of people came. It was it's not as crowded because the ticket actually is quite expensive. It's, I think in US dollars, like $200 or something. So not a lot of people bought the ticket, but a lot of people ended up attending the event.
Okay.
I heard it was inspiring. They love the event. I mean, they love Steve Wozniak. So
okay, well, sure. I mean, he's a celebrity, right? So it's got to be cool, right? Don't get me wrong. I'm not totally negative on this.
Well, before
hey, sweetie, you should talk about how you feel about this guy.
No, I mean, I want Speedy's point. I want to just ask, like, did he actually complain about Indonesia, like how he complained about Singapore in terms of, you know, see. He was. I mean, it was quite famous when he came to Singapore, and he was actually had a statement later on saying that how you will not see successful Silicon Valley type of companies coming out from Singapore because it lacks of creativity.
Yeah, and I would have given like the big fat fucking finger, like if he would have said that when I was in the room, right? Because it's total BS. But I don't think he pulled that in Indonesia. I don't recall hearing any comments about that. I'm sure he said he would lose a lot of productivity being in traffic all the time, right?
And, you know, steakhouses, you know, that guy loves steaks.
Yeah,
slightly obvious.
Oh, that's harsh. That's harsh.
So, Speedy, I mean, what do you think about this guy? I mean, he has this, like, tiny...
No, I'm not, like, look, the guy's obviously, like, super famous. Like, don't get me wrong. I just have not, like... And maybe when you do what he did so early in life, like, it's kind of like Justin Bieber. Like, no one's going to give a rat's ass about Justin Bieber when he's 60, right? So
Justin Bieber.
Yeah, okay, you know what I'm talking about. But my point is like, maybe, like, when you hit it so big and hard and amazing that he did, that there's no, like, encore from that. But it also sounds like he kind of backed away from it all anyway. So I just find it weird that he's just so celebrated, but yet... You know, he hasn't done anything since, right, in my opinion. And then sometimes I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but the way he talks about things of like, oh, my God, these Windows phones are amazing and, like, Apple should be careful. And you're just like, seriously, dude, do you really – like, who just paid you to say that? Because you and I both know that, like, nobody with a straight head, even though I know, Rama, you like it and Ollie likes these Windows phones, they're not going to go anywhere, right? We all know that. Like – you couldn't possibly think that that's, like, amazing. And the way he kind of, like, comes out with these sweeping statements of things. And then, like, you know, that one in his art, I'm the only one that can still speak for Apple. And I'm like, seriously, like, do you really think he knows what they're working on next? I don't believe so. I don't think they would trust him to tell him that stuff, right? So I just find it's odd that everybody worships him so much. It's just bizarre to me. But I'm not saying he isn't deserving of it, but I just find it odd.
No, I mean, he's a fantastic engineer, hasn't have any follow-through success recently. But at the same time, he's always misquoted. To be fair to him.
Yeah, but I think it's the way he shoots his mouth off sometimes. It breeds misquoting, right?
Yeah, but everyone wants the scoop, whereas, like, Steve Wozniak said, oh, my God, RIM is so awesome. Okay, sorry, that's not true.
That's a bad example, yeah.
Okay.
Well, but, you know, it's just weird. I mean, I think that's all I'm saying. Like, obviously the dude's cool. If I had the opportunity to meet him, I'm sure I'd shut my mouth because I'd be kind of in awe of him and all that. But I just find it's odd, that's all.
Okay.
Well, I could be the lone voice on this, as usual.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you in that. I mean, I admire the dude, but
I mean, come on, he was in the same country as Rama, and Rama didn't even go. So
yeah, how could you, know, man?
Clearly, I'm not the only one that feels this way.
No, I'm not the kind of guy that would just go to an event because I simply love the guy. Not even with Steve Jobs or Bill Gates or whatever. Ooh. If I have things to do, then I would just do it instead of, you know, attending conferences.
I'll tell that to Bill Gates the next time I meet him.
Bill Gates, I meet him in a second. Send my best regards. Apart from the fact that he won't fire Ballmer, like, you know, you got to have huge mass respect for Bill Gates' second life, where the way he's like spending his money and making waves is stunning to me, right? Like, there's no way Woz is even on a comparable scale. Like,
I actually had the chance to hang out with the Gates Foundation people. They are doing so many amazing stuff, and they're
super professional, right? Like, just amazingly focused on the task at hand. I think it's really cool, right? Like, Woz can't even explain what his new company does.
Well, I can actually help Woz explain a bit from his first company. In fact, Apple recently just launched their iPad. The new iPad is not in China, and there was a really short queue, and there's no chaos as you expected in most other iPad or any Apple product launch.
But what do you think cut out the chaos? Is it just that the buzz is kind of over? Meaning people who wanted them already got them anyway, right?
Yeah, I think it took too long for them to actually do a launch there. I know friends...
I think they did it on purpose, dude. I think they didn't want another riot on their hands. Like, their business is fine without that headache. So they're like, okay, we'll just let this cool off because we can't control it anyway, right? Because what did they do that's different? All they did was waited a period of time, right?
Yeah, they also have this waiting list thing where you can actually pre-order and just collect it.
Yeah.
So
they kind of, like, learned, right? Like, let's not have a stampede. Let's make some people order. But I think people translating this into that business isn't going well for them is a silly stretch, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, China is just beginning for them, and the reason why I highlight this story is just weird to see that, you know, you always associate this so much hype, and the queuing is part of the experience of joining the cult of the Mac. And yeah, well, I guess Apple is a different creature after Jobs. So I mean, Rama, what do you think?
Well, it's I don't know. I mean, Apple has been doing this for a very, very long time. It's kind of their way of doing things. So a lot of people would complain and are complaining. So, and Apple just won't even care, and they shouldn't.
Yeah, they don't give a rat's ass. So, but why should they? but I do think that, like, you know,
people still buy their product anyway. So
yeah, I think they do gotta, like, I think they're dangerously close to some people feeling like they got to come up with something new. And I'm not necessarily saying it's true or not, but I think, you know, this new iPhone's got to really fucking wow some people, or I think they're going to have a hard time, like, having another bust out year. But and I'm not saying that because I'm not a fanboy or anything, but, you know, OS updates, and I don't think these are, like, going to create massive booms, right? Like, so it feels like to me, like, this is kind of the last year that incremental is going to cut it for everybody, because that's all they're going to be doing, right? It's all incremental. Like,
that's true.
What's, you know, even the new iPhone feels fairly incremental to me, because if you played with the iOS 6 beta, it's just a lot of polishing. There's nothing amazingly new in it, unless something in the new hardware turns something on that no one's seen yet. But it doesn't feel that way, right? Well, so it'll be interesting to see, like, is this it, or do they got, you know, does the new TV thing drop? Does some new device drop? This passport stuff's pretty cool. Like, I've been playing around with it in beta and checking out some people coding around it. It's pretty slick. Like, that could open up a whole new realm of apps, right? But that's not new hardware. So.
Well, I'm really looking forward for the next iPhone regardless. I want to get out of the Android ecosystem anyway. So.
Yeah, man, I've had to been playing around with it for some stuff we're doing with school, and I just want to poke my eyes out.
Yeah.
It's amazing how horrible it is. I see why some people are snowed by the Windows thing, because you're thinking, God, anything's better than Android.
Yeah, like, I know. There's certain things that... I'm an Android user for a long time, but I think I need to switch back to iOS.
It hasn't, like, amazingly improved. It's just gotten, like, slightly better, right?
Yeah, true enough. Okay, so let's just take a break, and when we come back, we have two stories actually heavily related to Indonesia. Just like to thank our sponsor, Audible.com. Well, the book that I want to recommend, I mean, is actually... Well, which one should we recommend? Should we recommend I Was, or should we recommend Seven Habits of Highly Effective People?
I have a book that it's pretty good. I like that. I'm going to find it. Keep talking and then I'll find it.
Okay, so my recommendation for Seven Habits of Highly Effective People is actually because Stephen R. Covey just recently
passed. That was written, yeah, and that was written in the 40s, right?
Yeah, I do not know when it was written, but I mean, it's been a bestseller for a very long time, and it's actually narrated by the man himself. So, yeah, it's a good book, and if you want to actually get a free copy of the book, courtesy of The Suk in Asia, you can always head to audiblepodcast.com/TWIA, and yeah, you get one.
Yeah, so the one I've been listening to is called Making Ideas Happen.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice...
That sounds good. Scott Belsky.
It's really good. It's honestly like one of the first books I've read in a while where I'm actually taking some notes and things from certain chapters I'm applying at work like the next day. Like really digging it. And it's just about this whole idea that this notion that everybody thinks that everybody has these eureka moments and then you suddenly have a new feature or a new product is just a load of shit, right? That it's 20 ideas with people cutting out 19 of them, picking one, and then working really hard to make the one work, and then refining it and pivoting. And but it's also about how you organize yourself to cut those things out and make the one idea work, and how execution's much harder than, like, idea phase, right? I mean, being in a startup right now, it means a lot to me, but I think for everybody, we're kind of disorganized around our idea generation and execution, right? Like, we take a lot of notes, we do a lot in our Moleskines, but how many of that stuff ever, like, comes to light, right? So it's pretty good. I mean, it's only a couple years, like a year old or something like that.
Yeah,
but
it's, well, maybe 2 years old is the launch in Audible is 2010, but yeah, this is a 7 hours and 8 minutes book. You can get it free.
It's awesome. Really good read. A really good listen.
All right. Okay.
And thank you, Audible, our primary sponsor.
All right, let's get back onto the show. And well, before that, Rama, do you have any recommendations? Or...
Anything besides the IWAS would be great. Smitty would love that.
Anything besides that? Okay. Seriously, if you're into IWAS, I mean, it's cool. I don't have any major issues about it.
Okay.
Okay, moving on. So from the company that... Well, it's also a bit Apple-centric, but from the company that does outsourcing manufacturing for Apple, that Foxconn is going to invest, well, close to $10 billion. I mean, they're going to invest $1 billion to develop a factory in Indonesia. I mean, Rama, what can you tell us about this?
Well, I think I have to give credit to the government for this. I hate to do that, but I kind of have to.
Dude, that's a stretch. Isn't it?
For me, it's a big stretch.
That's pretty huge.
I mean, the government has been talking to these people, and I'm not sure what kind of incentive they give to to Foxconn for opening their factory here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely a huge, huge step for Indonesia. You know, since RIM and RIM chooses Malaysia over Indonesia for factory, and then
okay, I got nothing to do with that. Okay, I want them to not be in Malaysia.
I know you're a good guy. You have nothing.
But wait a sec. Isn't this whole bullshit just stemmed from the fact that they're saying, "Oh, we're going to tax the bejesus out of you if you don't manufacture in our country"?
Yeah, yeah.
So you have a country. You have a company that's practically going to go out of business in the next couple of years anyway. I mean, I'll stand by the fact that RIM's current cash hoard is as big as it's ever going to get unless they actually get investment or something. So Indonesia, who has no sense of how the world works, suddenly strong-arms a company that's effectively going out of business and everybody's celebrating this as like a factory coming to Indonesia, right? Mm-hmm. Like, isn't it kind of whacked? I mean,
it is. It is. Yeah. That's why it, you know, when I heard the news for the first time, kind of blew my mind. It's like, how the hell the government, you know, managed to pull this off? I mean, how did they? I know it's
because I think at the end of the day, it might only ship product in Indonesia someday because Indonesia is the only people that still think blackberries have a chance.
That's
so
true.
Like, give them that angle. They're like, well, we might as well put a factory in the one country we're going to be left standing in. Makes total sense. If you look
at that way. That's true.
Well, just to put it this way, I mean, Foxconn is a Taiwanese company. Majority of the factories are actually in China. They have 13 factories in China.
And how many suicides per year in China in their factories?
Well, it's actually like 2 to 3 per year, which is actually quite...
Holy crap.
Yeah,
and there's suicide... It's like suicide nets around or some design they did to help with keeping people from being able to jump out, right?
Yeah.
So I was curious, using the design plans for the Foxconn Indonesia factory?
I have no idea. I'm trying to find out the plans for the Indonesia. But, I mean, they have factories in Brazil, Europe, India. They have a small factory.
Because Brazil's Indonesia. The same thing, right?
Yeah.
Brazil's just happened too, right? Like, that's why Foxconn went to Brazil, because they were basically saying in the whole South America, they're doing this in Argentina too, right? They're going to tax it a lot if it's not built there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but they have a factory in Malaysia and Mexico, so...
But Rama, isn't there a beef around the location, though? That, like, Foxconn wanted it in one place, and the government... I thought Foxconn wanted it in a particular area, and then the government saying you have to go to this area.
Well, they wanted the Cikarang area, actually. It's probably 1.5 hours outside of Jakarta.
Uh-huh.
Not that far, but it's quite remote, actually.
Particularly in Cambodia.
Sorry?
Practically in Cambodia at that point, right?
Oh, that's true. But I'm not sure about the requirements. I got the information, is it requires 1,000 hectares of land. So that's a huge freaking factory. It's basically a city. So I'm not sure whether they put it in Java or outside of Java, because there's always a possibility that the factory would be outside of Java, preferably in the Sumatra Island. They still have, you know, they have a lot of the factories as well.
Yeah.
And especially in Batam, you know, so close to Singapore, that quite big. They have some really good industry incentives from the local governments, so there's a possibility there as well. And I don't think the government has been releasing a lot of information about the factory, but
so I understand the government wanted Foxconn to actually build in the tech city, I mean Indonesia's Silicon Valley. Where exactly is that?
I think it's bullshit. I don't think they really want that, but you know,
it's going to be kind of expensive. It's just going to be kind of expensive for them to build it over there, isn't it?
Yeah, that's one thing. But the other thing is, why should they? Isn't that like wasting a lot of money?
Yeah. I just want to know which politician can be rich off that land deal.
See, yeah, that's one thing we have to figure out. There's always a catch.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Foxconn is a big catch, so... let's hope there's no interesting suicide case or something like that happening from Indonesia.
It'll be interesting to see if you know, some Apple product gets, like, you know, a major build out of there or something. That'd be pretty trippy, right?
Oh, it'd be pretty trippy. I mean, come on. You never know. Daily Social could have a leak in terms of the next iPhone or something like that.
I could hang out at a nearby bar or something and, you know, steal some phones.
The other... The other big news that this has come with is that porn dude's out of jail, right?
Oh, yeah, apparently it's a huge news. It got into the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
Ariel,
whatever his name is?
Can you just explain to our audience what's the background of...
Because there is an internet linkage to this whole thing, because they were almost going to shut down the internet because of this guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's so this guy, he's the lead singer of a local band. He's very famous, very pl- playboy type of guy, has a lot of hot girlfriends and all that. And he had sex with one of the models, a very, very famous model, actually, mm-hmm. at top of her career. And the guy was also at top of his career. And the video leaked. And it's not just one, actually. It was two videos with two different hot girls. And obviously...
I read about it on the internet. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge thing for Indonesia because...
I'm looking for the video.
I can email you. Hey, come on, who doesn't have Indonesia? Okay, has to have.
It's still the number one torrent on Indo-Webster.
So. Off the show. Off the
there
show.
You go. Off the show. But, yeah, he got sent to jail and...
You know, ruined her career too, right? Well, like, she's a nobody now, right?
No, he's everything's fans. Well, new album.
She's still doing some modeling gig or something. Mm. But, you know, the big thing about this case is, you know, we've had a lot of cases before, which is basically similar, mm-hmm. but it involves mostly politicians.
Ah.
So we had, like, 3 or 4 cases, you know, like, I don't know, like 10 or 5 years ago, and those guys were never prosecuted, never put to jail. And then this guy, a lead singer of a band, doing the same thing, and he got sentenced for, I'm not sure how it's this time in jail, but I think it's like 2 years or 3 years or something. Yeah, so it was a huge fuss. I mean, why didn't the politicians got jail, but this guy has to, you know, be detained?
So he was actually convicted. He was arrested on June 2010, convicted on January 2011 under the 2008 Electronic Information Transaction Law for distributing pornography, and he was actually fined 250 million rupiah. Sorry.
Right, 25,000 K.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is not distributing the video. Who would do that? I mean, a guy at the top of his career, a girl on top of her career. Why would they distribute their porn video?
Well, maybe they're taking a book out of Kim Kardashian, but...
That doesn't make any sense, man.
That's another... Well,
Kim Kardashian makes total sense, but not with this... You know, not with Indonesia. That's idiotic.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the big fun was basically this guy is charming, has a lot of fans, you know, from younger age, mm-hmm. rural area. The bunch of people that basically rules the Indonesia's trending topic, basically. So yeah, the internet was pretty torn down basically because of him.
Well, all I can say is mungkin bila nanti.
Yeah, that's one of his favorite songs.
Okay. Sometime maybe. Well, then let's move on to the other news where, well, Smitty is actually in the cover of the news.
My photo is all over the internet today.
Where was... I saw you tweeted that. Where were the other photos anyway?
Say that again? No, that was on Next Web.
Oh, okay.
Isn't it on the next one?
Yeah, it's on
the
next web.
You and the Copro founders.
So, well, the backstory is Yahoo has a new CEO, Marissa Meyer. I mean, this is the third CEO in 4 years? Am I getting this correct?
It's the fifth in as many as 5 years, I believe. It's 5 for 5, I think.
5 for 5. From Carol Bartz to...
Scott Thompson
to I lost track.
Mayor.
Yeah, but it was actually a very interesting thing to actually see Marissa Meyer, Mayor, taking helm of Yahoo. You guys want to add something before we move into the corporate story?
I mean, there's so much to say about this, right? Like, I mean, I don't, you know, have some eye to something that everybody else doesn't have, but I think the optics, if that's the word you want to use for this, are massive, right? Like, yes. Because one of the things I realized today that was a very good point is this is the first Yahoo CEO
that essentially started life as a normal person, right? Like, if you look at, you know, everybody who ends up in this role has either been a CEO or is used to the Fortune 500, private jets, admins, you know, like, you know, I've never seen any of the current CEOs ever in the cafeteria. I've never seen Carol Bartz. I've never seen Scott Thompson. Like, you know, their food's brought to them in their little corner office. I mean, she is just working this, and she's so smart, right? Like, she's eating in the cafeteria. She's showing up to, like, meetings. It's like, Wow. Seriously, you know, you would never see Carol Bartz, only at an Arhines or if you were in a meeting with her.
Oh, she's hanging out with Michael Arrington a lot.
Yeah, so it's like, I think the optics
crushing
of this
on
thing
each
is
other.
Just... Yeah, the optics of this thing are just really huge, right? And I think that in and of itself, I don't think people realize is just going to really boost morale and the brain drain and is going to be an amazing recruiting tool. Now, does that mean Yahoo's going to get turned around? Absolutely not, right? It's a 3 to 5 year project. But does it have a better chance now than it did before? I definitely think so, right? Like, I think the optics of this thing are huge. And I think she's going to be able to make phone calls that – people are going to answer because she is who she is. And how can you not take her seriously until she screws up, right?
Yeah.
She's super connected, right? Way more connected than Carol or Scott or any of these people, right?
Well,
so I just think, you know, it's a massively great foundation, right? But the same problems that Yahoo had last month are still the same problem they're going to have right now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. A lot of people herald this as like the savior of Yahoo. I mean, she has yet to prove herself. I mean, I respect Yahoo for actually hiring someone who's actually pregnant, and Marissa doesn't have any proper managerial position, or I mean, she's never been a CEO before, so this is going to be an interesting experiment. And she's an engineer, which is actually quite going against what Yahoo traditionally wants to be in terms of a media company. So it is quite interesting to see. I mean, I'm looking forward to see what she can do, but I doubt the fact that one person can change the company, but she has just put some hope into what the company can do, actually.
Yep.
Rama?
I agree. I mean, back then when Yahoo, you know, back at the era of Scott Thompson, Yahoo, you know, hired some people from Warner Brothers, from even, you know, they hired someone from AOL, I think, and all these big media executives moved to Yahoo to fix the, you know, basically to fix the problem, which kind of justified the whole 2,000 people laid off, you know, the engineering people got laid off. So when they hired Mayer, like, are they going back to focus on product again? Because if not, then why would you hire Mayer? Because that's what Mayer is really good at. If you hired someone else, you know, probably a media guy like Thompson maybe, then it makes sense because you're focusing into media, not product.
But Thompson wasn't even really a media guy either, right? Like, Thompson, like, was
PayPal,
a huge mistake,
right?
Any way you cut it. But I think Levinson wouldn't have been a bad CEO, right? Like, you know, because that's how you
true.
Get the fifth one, by the way, right? So
oh.
Levinson wouldn't have been a bad CEO, but I think the ability for him to hire product people and really, like, you know, like, I have something written that I'm going to talk about this because there's a guy that's going to write a big article about Yahoo, but... The easiest way I've been trying to explain this, and maybe, you know, correct me if I'm, this sounds really stupid, but people keep doing this. Yahoo's a media company. Put those gears on and become a media. Yahoo's a technology company. What I keep trying to tell people is Yahoo's a zebra. And, you know, you tell me how you can make a zebra a white horse, or you tell me how you can make a zebra a black horse. It's impossible.
It's easier to make a zebra a black horse than a white horse, I believe.
But you can paint it or something. But what I'm saying is, like, theoretically, it's just impossible. A zebra is always going to be a zebra. And I think Marissa has a better shot of managing Yahoo zebra-ness than other people.
Yeah.
That's interesting, yeah.
Rama, did you actually meet Marissa when she was there?
Yeah, actually, I presented in front of her and some 20 other Googlers in Jakarta probably 2 months ago or something.
Yep.
You know, I've been doing public speaking for a long, long time, and that's the first time in years I got really, really nervous. oh, holy crap, I'm going to present something, do a presentation in front of Mr. Mayor. That was huge. But I think she with 20, all these, you know, 20 Googlers, you know, they were on a tour to Asia. So that includes, I think it's Indonesia and China, I think. I'm not sure which city. But after Jakarta, they went to Beijing. And then when, you know, a friend of mine told me when, you know, when Mayor got back after that Asia trip, and, you know, then she was offered a position at Yahoo. But, you know, meeting her and, you know, all these, you know, her team, it's really obvious that all these team loves her. They're like, you know, doing jokes with her, and she was really nice. You know, it's not like cocky she's really down to earth, and the team loved her. Yeah, that's for sure.
That's the associate product manager program, right? The Google APM.
I think, yeah. Oh, yeah, I think it has something to do with that.
Okay. Well, it's actually good to know. We'll wish any final thoughts?
Smitty has something to say.
No, say that one again?
Any
final thoughts about Marissa? Or?
Well, any final thoughts before we move into the Yahoo corporate thing? Yeah.
No, I just think this is like something that like people need to remember is going to play out over a couple of years, right? And so that's going to be, you know, it's a year from now. Are we talking about Marissa still being there? What has she done? Has Yahoo's numbers changed? That's what I'm going to be interested in. But I just think she has a better shot at this than previous candidates.
Agreed. Okay. And one of is this directly actually from her or not? I'm not
sure. No, there's no freaking way in hell that this has anything to do with her.
Okay, so what happened is actually, I mean, Yahoo bought Corporate. I mean, you were part of the...
Yeah, well, I can tell you everything up to a point, right? But like... Yahoo bought Corporate. One of the things that people never seem to wrap their heads around, and I think the Indonesian press hammered on this the worst, no offense, Rama, was this idea that the whole thing was about buying Corporate. It wasn't. It never was. The whole thing was about, one, buying Corporate, and two, creating an engineering capability in the emerging markets. And I can assure you that my plan was always almost kind of 50% of each. And this idea that everybody myopically focused on Corporate, the property, never quite understood what was going on. I mean, do you ever think that the 30 or 35 people that sat in that office only worked on Corporate? They did it. And some of the stuff saw the light of the day, and some of it didn't in typical product companies. But if you looked at the thesis, Yahoo suffered from this, all the engineering's in Sunnyvale, or it's in China, or it's in India. And if you're a betting man, and Google and some other people on Facebook are making these bets, where do you go next to cultivate and create engineering talent and culture? You go to the emerging markets. That's not really India anymore. That ship sailed because India is a huge outsourcing center, right? Yep. So Yahoo was doing some of this in Brazil, and Yahoo was doing some of this in Indonesia. None of us thought it would play out over a couple years, that one of the things was keeping the product going and maybe coming up with new ones. The second was creating an engineering culture in another market because the prices were better, there was more talent, and you could much easily recruit people in Indonesia than you could Sunnyvale. Nobody ever clued in on this, and I was always shocked that people couldn't figure this out, right? So Corporate getting shut down as a property never quite shocked me because it wasn't that big in the big scheme of things and it didn't make money. So I don't understand why people think it would be shocking that you would shut something like that down. The shocker was shutting the team down. And pretty much everybody, and I bet you even Marissa Mayer, if she could look at the whole story, but we're talking peanuts here, so why would she, would be shocked that you would have let all these guys hit the street. Because the amount of work we went through to train them and to hire them and for them to hire more people and to train more people, notice how all of those people were virtually snapped up overnight, right?
Yep.
Like, because everybody wants this sort of talent. And if you look at what they're doing now with the brick out, the ice house thing, this is a American VC wanting talent in emerging markets. Whoa, go figure. Like, how stupid is that, right? So on that level, Yahoo completely blew it. And everybody is shocked by it. So I actually think
giving Corporal back was the PR rescue to the big blunder, which the blunder was not just shutting Corporal down, but getting rid of the staff. So this is just Yahoo giving back to Indonesia, per se, and saying, you know what, we don't want to look like complete idiots, so we figured out a way to give you the thing back, which is actually a very hard thing to do, right? It took Yahoo like 18 months to give Delicious back, right? Like, you know, the fact that they did this within really just a month is pretty shocking. So Marissa, nothing to do with it. The Corp Dev team had been working on this for months.
Rama?
So basically, I agree with Smitty. You know, after they announced that they're shutting down Corporal, and, you know, people just keep talking that, you know, Yahoo is a really bad company, and Corporal is basically the victim of the whole shenanigans of Yahoo having a identity crisis, if you will. So now that they announced they were giving back the intellectual property for the brand, you know, they're a hero again. So that's good for them. That's a pure PR strategy for Yahoo. But
it's also just the right thing to do, right?
That's true, but I don't think they really have to, but it's a nice touch, you know, for the company. So I really love that Yahoo decided to, you know, go on with that. But one thing for sure, that the domain was given back to the founders. The brand Corporal is, you know, the intellectual property behind the brand. It's given back to the founders. But the code and the database of users are still Yahoo's. So right. Basically, just giving blanks. Basically, Yahoo bought the users and the codes. As simple as that.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, let's be really honest. Yahoo hasn't earned a dime from that.
Yeah, that's true. Right? That's true.
They haven't earned like a nickel from that. I guarantee you, they've expended more now in this entire exercise than they've ever gotten back. Right? They have an overbuilt office. They have packages to all these people, right? Like, they did not come out, you know. I think this thing's just kind of a big mistake that what got caught in Scott Thompson's clutch, because that's who started all this stuff. I fully believe if the Thompson era hadn't happened, that Levinson probably wouldn't have even touched this stuff, because he would have said, you know what, do I want to be in emerging markets or do I not want to be in emerging markets? Oh, yeah, wait, I do. How much is that team costing me? Oh, not that much. I'll think about this in a year, right? Seriously, that's the math. Scott Thompson's like, oh my God, I'm going to take a machete to this company, right? And it wasn't just Indonesia. It was Brazil. It was a bunch of places, right? It was entire offices being shut down in some countries. So this was the Ross Levinson machete. I mean, the Scott Thompson machete. And Corporal was just kind of an innocent bystander to the whole thing, because I'm quite positive if that era hadn't happened, that it would have just stayed the way it was, and that those guys were actually working on some stuff that was going to be new kind of core Yahoo product and stuff like that. I mean, a lot of people forget, you know, does anybody use the J2ME messenger?
Nope.
Well, people do. You may not, but people do, right? That was all built by the Corporal team in Indonesia, right? Wow. So, you know, the plan there was to create an engineering foothold in the emerging markets as well as experiment with product. And frankly, we all knew it was an experiment. It was the rest of the world that was kind of shocked that they thought this was all black and white, right? So I think, but, you know, Rama, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the part that I've argued with a few people. Is Indonesia and the team and the ecosystem better off for having this whole event happened? I will swear by the top of my lungs that it is.
No, I mean, before you answer, Rama, I will say that is one of the best things that ever happened.
Even the shutdown and the giving back and everything, the net result of the ecosystem and those guys has elevated the system.
Like, I mean, what are those guys doing now? They are doing, what is it called again?
Well, they're still doing basically the same thing they did before Corporal got acquired by Yahoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're doing a much different thing, right? They're not in business for themselves. They're in business for this fun, yes. Right? And then they have a side business, which is the Burrito Studios, which allows them to dabble. But, you know, they're in a much better place, right? Come on. They've been through it. They know how it works. They have experience. You know, how many Indonesians have an exit under their belt?
You know, that's interesting, because I've been debating with a lot of people about this whole corporal thing, especially the media. Actually, they hate the fact that I think it makes total sense. You know, when Yahoo decided to cut off corporal and the whole team, I was like, yeah, that's understandable. I mean, corporal was pure bad situation with the bad people, but it not necessarily Yahoo's the bad people, but. You know, if you look at from Yahoo's standpoint, it's understandable because they're focusing less on the products and more on the media side. It just makes total sense for them to cut Coppola off. But the Coppola's guys was like, the media was like, oh, this is really bad. You guys acquired and then now you, ditch Coppola team. It's like, no, it's not that. It's pure business. And I think I have to agree with Smitty. And trust me, I've been having a lot of debates on this as well. I think this is, the whole shenanigan, it makes the industry more mature, saying that, they could see that, acquisition is not really the exit. You still have a lot of things you should do, even after you got acquired or after you basically exit. It's a long run.
Yeah,
But, like, you know the guys. Like, do you really seriously think that Satya Pajardhania would say that they as people and as entrepreneurs are not better off today than they were pre-acquisition?
I wouldn't say that.
I mean, I don't think you'd ever hear them say that. I could hear them say that maybe it didn't quite go as planned or that it was different than what they expected, blah, blah, blah. But to me, there's no way that, like, the place and the ecosystem is not better off over this whole thing, right?
I
think people who, like, I had a tech pub call me to kind of talk about this, and they were like, oh my God, is this just the most disastrous thing ever? And I'm like, seriously? Like, do you think Dennis Crowley sits there and laments his first acquisition that didn't quite work out by Google? Or does he go, hey, I got my side of the deal, I learned, and I'm on number two, right? Like, so I'm baffled why people don't get that this wasn't, one of the best, not saying the only thing, because that would sound pretty selfish, right? But to not think that this is a milestone in the startup map for Indonesia is just shocking to me, right?
Well, you have to understand that this whole thing is very new to us. So I cover, from looking from the, especially from my side, the media's point of view, I can understand that they are concerned about the whole situation. Although, I keep telling them that that's okay. I mean, that's the way, that's the way business works.
Yep.
It all comes back to business. And as a business, sometimes you have to make a really, bad decision, not bad decision, decision that you wouldn't even want to make, but you have to keep the company alive.
Yep,
so Yahoo did that. And you might not be happy about it, but hey, that, I think, corporate team, Yahoo, and I think the whole Indonesia tech industry got the best of the entire situation. So I think it's all
good. And I think the chapter is not done, right? These guys are now going to scheme on new things, right? So, like, with the experience, resources, and knowledge that they now have based on going through this thing, right? That's the part that I feel like, right? I just feel like people almost are trivializing this thing and pretending that it's like a stain on the ecosystem. And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me, right? Like, it's just so weird to me. Like, I don't know why I'm bothered by it, because maybe I'm too close to it. But,
I just want to, we need to wrap up soon, but I just want to add the fact that, acquisition, acquire, or exits are not too common, especially in this part of Asia. Well, it's not common in Asia in general. So a lot of people do not know, the aim picture of it, like, what's life after acquisition and et cetera. So this kind of thing happened. And it's part of the growing ecosystem. So I guess it's stuff that we have to go through. Well, So let's just move on to the last segment in terms of picks of tech startups that are interesting. Who do you want to go first? I have nothing this week because I've been kind of occupied. Speedy.
So are we talking like only in the region or just in general? Or?
Well, we can talk Asia in general, but prefer. I mean, any particular trends that you realize that will probably come over here or something?
No, I'm... I'm digging Asana lately, and I know people aren't talking about it, but I think that, like, it's you know, for people working on products and teams, like, there's been a dearth of ways to help people manage and do something. And so Asana just got funded, right? And I think it's cool to see what they're doing. And so, to me, I've been kind of stoked about that because it's kind of something I'm using every day. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still kind of scratching for the crazy cool things coming from the region, right? And, you know, I'm not seeing some... I mean, apart from In-N-Out Burger...
Today,
I don't know what could be more exciting than that. I mean, come on. It's like something like 500 people lined up for like 300 burgers or something. It was crazy.
So, and where is this happening?
Singapore.
So In-N-Out Burger, like, have you been to the States, Rama, to have it? Or
no.
So it's like,
I don't think so.
Frankly, it's not the best one of all of them, to be honest. But it isn't, if you just need a proper burger, shake, and fries, it's good and it's a decent value, right? So given what we have in the region, which is frankly crappy burgers, I'll take an In-N-Out over like the number one burger place in Singapore, whatever that is. So they've been doing these pop-up stands where they announce only a couple days before that In-N-Out's going to open up a small stand and they're only going to serve like 300 burgers. And I think it's for free. So it's obviously mob, like they did this in Australia. Usually it's a prelude to them coming here and they're kind of gauging reaction. The reaction was phenomenal, right? Like I didn't bother getting in line for it, but the pictures that people were posting were just freaking killing me because they look so good, right? Yeah. So to me, that's like the coolest thing to like happen. Because I'm sure all of you will make a trip to Singapore just to have these burgers. I almost guarantee it.
Yeah, I would. But yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of In-N-Out Burger, but it's like...
But comparatively, right?
Yeah, hey, dude, you need to come to Malaysia, man. There's like so many new burger joints, like quarter pounder patties and stuff like that heading around. I mean,
I usually find is everybody like fucks with the burger too much. Like people don't realize that if it's good beef, you're just talking a little bit of seasoning and it's flame broiled, and then you have good bread and good fries and good condiments. But everybody screws them up here, right?
Come to like my restaurant. Come to Malaysia.
All right, so I will get down there one of these days. I have a birth to get through, and then I'll be back to normal, hopefully. So,
yeah, I'll just stick to Quiznos. I'm good.
Okay. Quiznos isn't bad. Don't get me wrong, but it ain't burger, right?
How about you, Rama? Any particular trends interesting startups that caught your radar recently? I think we should call this segment the Asia Radar. I don't know. I don't have a name.
Ah, that's nice. Asia Radar.
That's kind of cool. Okay. Why not?
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I've been seeing, you know, speaking about trends, Indonesia has been seeing a lot of smaller e-commerce, private shopping kind of thing, you know, like Guild Group and all that, you know, and the
yeah. or something like that, is it?
Yes, exactly. And we have dozen of smaller of those launching, at least for the last 2 months, at least there's 10 of them.
Wow.
Launch. So I think it's the new big thing, you know, at least for the last 2 years, e-commerce dominated by the big players, you know, Rakuten and Plaza, Tokobagus and all that stuff. But I think the smaller e-commerce is you know, popping out. So I think that's good.
Tokobagus is killing it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. They're having a fierce competition with the Berniaga.com. It's you know, if you look at
competition, what for like marketing and stuff? I thought numbers wise, like Tokobagus is way
number wise is Tokobagus is killing it. But in terms of, you know, ads and stuff like that, both companies is doing hardcore. I mean, Yeah. I have no idea.
They're doing like TV commercials and shit, right?
Yeah, dude. And it's not just a TV commercial. They actually sponsored the Toko Bagus actually sponsored the Euro Cup events for Indonesia. So whenever you see the
doubling down in Indonesia too, right? Like
it's nuts. Yeah, it's insane.
So we are seeing in the e-commerce growth in Indonesia and also India actually.
Oh really? I did not know that.
Yeah, India. For at least for the past 1 year, half a year or so, like that, there's a lot of a COD system going around, cash on delivery, because. Yeah, so that became like the default payment method. There are companies specifically set up to run CODs, and that just caused the boom in e-commerce over in India.
Wow. But it's costing a lot of money, right? People write a lot of articles on Flipkart about like, you know, they're spending more than they're making by a freaking long shot, right?
Yeah.
Like, so it'll be interesting. I'm interested to see like what I've been kind of following the peeps around what Rocket's doing, and like I'm interested like. So what I'm hearing already is like Rocket's already losing the people that they just brought on, right?
Like, I'm not surprised.
Like, the people are so bored. They're just like, apart from the office gatherings that they throw free food and they're overpaying everybody, people are bored out of their skulls. Right? So it's going to be interesting to see if like Rocket's a flash in the pan or they really pull it together or not. So.
Personally, I think Rocket, there are some companies that probably will survive, but majority of it is like, I don't really have much confidence in it. Just another quick trend that I noticed around Asia. Are you guys noticing the death of all those group buying sites?
Say that again?
Like the decline of the group buying sites?
I didn't even know they were ever popular to begin with. I mean... Yeah, it's a joke, right?
I mean, I think, and Living Social, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but they're going to have it like Groupon supposedly working through a big pivot. Living Social is kind of dying on the vine, I think.
Yep.
But like, I think all the little local niche pages, what?
I think Living Social is pivoting. That's what I heard.
Well, they're both. Living Social's been pivoting, right? But I don't think it's going well. Groupon supposedly, we all know, not doing well at all. I mean, Living Social's private, right? They don't have to tell anybody. But supposedly Groupon's planning a major pivot to try to, like, pull out of it. But I think, in general, this whole thing was a seriously stupid niche that no one gave a shit about, right? Did you use it? I honestly have never used any of them.
I only use it when I'm organizing, like, big gatherings and stuff like that, that if they have a
deal. I mean, I think the travel stuff is totally much more an interesting space and not talked about enough comparatively.
Oh, yeah, that is so true. I mean, that's another trend in Indonesia. Travel.
We go and these guys, they're just crushed in the nut. Right?
Yeah, that's true. Okay. That's true.
But yeah, I think, but the local niche players, I mean, I'm assuming you have a bunch in Malaysia, Daniel, like they're sucking wind, right?
Yeah, they're sucking wind. I mean, I look at the deals, they are horrible. I mean, there's like 5 deals for a week. Come on, it used to be so crazy, so...
The hype is over, my friend.
The hype is over. We'll declare over in this week in Asia. So, okay, thank you, guys. Really insightful, interesting episode. I really miss doing this. And, Rama, where can actually people look out for you or learn more, what do you do? Or maybe, like, stalk you when you're playing basketball?
Well, I'm on Twitter. It's RAMPOK, Rampok, and you can read my blog at dailysocial.net/EN.
All right, fantastic. And Smitty? Yeah.
So you can find me on Twitter, and then you can find me on my new project, which I'm inviting people to it via this podcast, which is globalthing.com. So
Rami, can you spell that?
Know about it. Yeah, Global, GOLBAL, so Global Thing, THING.com. And it's now live in beta.
Yep, I'm on it already. I need to sign on.
And you're not doing much on it, but I'll forgive you for that. But
yeah, I know.
I just have this, like, struggle that I've been, it's like a personal demon I've had, which is, you know, and this is, I love Daily Social, don't get me wrong, but I just find that none of these things have a sense of community. There's not a lot of commenting. There's not a lot of, like, interaction. It's news, right? Which is great. I mean, mm-hmm. that serves an amazing purpose. Don't get me wrong. But I was so tired of blogging for my own echo chamber that I just felt like this. There needs to be a sense of community across the regions in the startup land, and I don't see it. And maybe I'm missing a product, but it's not Facebook, it's not LinkedIn. And so I just kind of have this personal demon to kind of like, none of these tools are working for me, right? And I know that there's people in Indonesia who know this and people in Vietnam who know that. And we're not learning from each other. There's no Keretsu of help, right? So I may not have built a very good tool. I even admit that it's not all the way there yet or even close, but it's a start. And I've decided to, rather than just continue to wax poetically about what I want to do with it, just open it up and get working on it. So,
how can people actually get? I mean, you have to request for membership.
Right? So you can go there now and request. It's public. It's basically kind of public right now, except that you can't do anything other than read or request membership. And so, if you go there now and request membership, I'll evaluate who it is and let you in or not. Right? It's definitely a private community. It's not for the masses. It's my gift to the region.
Nice.
So, you know, there's not a money model behind it. I'm not trying to like build a site and put advertising on it. I'm trying to give everybody a weapon, which is by using this and hopefully adding to it, everybody's going to get smarter and have a better community. That's the idea. And I don't think it's in competition to the blogs or anything like that. So, Rama, go ahead and like write about it if you want, or join it, you know, pair it apart. It's a start of something I think the region's missing. I'm hoping it helps everybody. That's the goal here, right?
Yeah. I will definitely try that.
So that's where you can find me apart from the normal channels. And it is good to be back chatting with you guys. It's been a while since we've gotten this vocal about everything.
Well, and also do remember to check out Spoo.
Yes, thank you very much. And Daniel, how did TEDx go, by the way? I never heard like a...
It was
big,
like...
Or maybe we should cover that next time, but I never heard a big like download from it.
No, the videos are not up yet, but we hit close to 900 people, and we have 300 people in the waiting list.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is big.
Yeah, next... we are already planning something for next year, and it will be bigger, I guess, but I'm not too sure bigger, but we're definitely better, because there's quite a few things that we're trying to pull off for next year.
Sounded like it all went well, though.
Yeah, thanks for asking. It was really, really nice. I didn't enjoy it a lot because I was busy running around, but most of the feedback has been tremendously positive. I mean, I'm still seeing tweets going out talking about how they enjoy it. So, yeah, it's quite satisfying for me.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Yep. Okay, events-wise, I don't think we... Rama, is there any events that you want to update? Because I don't think I have actual details for the events.
We have Sparks Up next October, actually. It's a long shot, but just heads up.
All right. I will definitely try to come to Jakarta this time.
Yay!
I promise. I need my tea bottle. Okay, so... this is Dennis Aventis signing off, and... that's another discrimination. See you guys. Bye.
See ya.
Bye. Later.